judicial circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention, as the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The first case this morning is United States versus Howard.
May it please the court. There's really one issue in this case, and it's whether someone can be convicted of producing child pornography when the image that's captured is not, in fact, child pornography. To answer that question and decide whether or not that can happen under the statute, it's important to start with the text of the statute, but also the verbs that use appears with. The statute was written in the 1970s. It was meant to cover commercial producers, and since then, Congress has changed many parts of it, but it hasn't changed the core verbs that apply. Use, employ, persuade, entice, coerce. All of those are something that takes action upon the child. It's not that someone coerces a child to stand in the corner while he himself engages in sexually explicit conduct apart from the child. Same with entices or coerces or employs. All those verbs, just like use, if they're to be defined within the context that they appear, demand that there be some engagement with the child. And here there's none. Now, not only do we have no engagement with the child is sleeping, the child is clothed, the image that's produced, really the test of whether or not this qualifies under the statute, is not something that anyone would consider child pornography. It doesn't involve the child engaging in sexually explicit conduct, doesn't engage the lewd and lascivious display of her genitalia or anyone else.
The statute is a child exploitation statute. It's not denominated a child pornography statute. And exploitation statutes, at least at the state level, cover a very broad array of conduct.
Correct.
This is not the federal version of that, as I understand your argument. It's by its terms, targeted at the production of child pornography, even though it doesn't use that term.
That's right.
So that, it's an argument by necessary implication from the text, not the sort of category that it falls in, because it doesn't use the term child pornography.
That's right, Your Honor. It not only predates the actual definition that Congress imposed, or Congress created 2256-8. That's the definition of child pornography that we all use, and that's post-Ferber. And this statute was really like, what is going on here? But it's much different in the idea that it's not a sexual exploitation. It doesn't cover anything that you would do with a child. Wisconsin has one. You try to entice a child into an enclosed area for sexual purposes, you're going away. But Congress here has the means to do that. We have the Transportation Acts, and we also have transport within this statute. So if you transport a minor for the purpose of doing this, if you engage the channels of interstate commerce, then you're guilty of a felony. But the key to this statute is really, how do we interpret it? If we look at it with Bailey and with the verbs that it appears with, what is the object that we're trying to combat? Though it doesn't say child pornography, this is the child pornography statute, courts for years have referred to it as production of child pornography. Even the government's brief refers to it as a production of child pornography statute. And that's because that's what it was getting at, and that's what it is getting at. We're trying to combat the evil of somebody videotaping or photographing the sexual abuse of a child. And here, we don't disagree that what Matt Howard did was deplorable. It just doesn't fit within the statutory scheme that Congress has provided.
What about any touching at all? And there were two occasions, and they're actually 2 years apart. Was there some issue about touching her lips?
That's correct, Your Honor. There was at one moment in the second video, he puts his penis on her lips. Right? But that's not an engagement in sexual explicit conduct. At the final hearing, Judge Conley had gone over and challenged the government. If that's what you put as oral sex, because oral sex is one of the ways that you're caught within that, I want briefing. And then they withdrew that argument. They said, hey, we're not positing that this is actually oral sex that's taking place here. It doesn't fit within that definition. And there's actually a specific definition for sexual act and sexual abuse in the statutes. So the mere fact that he touches her with his penis while she's clothed and sleeping doesn't produce an image of child pornography. The child is still a prop. the child is still, it's no different than if the child is 5 feet away or 5 inches away. In both sense, she's not engaged in the sexually explicit conduct. And the bright line that we've formed, or at least that the defense has formed, harmonizes the statute. It says, have you employed the child? Have you enticed the child? Have you coerced the child to engage in? But if we were allowed to use to become, to cover the mere use of a child as an object, which is what the government has in page 20 of its brief, it says, hey, anytime somebody uses a child as an object to create pornography, not child pornography, pornography, that garners a 15-year sentence. And you look at the way the Supreme Court has often interpreted statutes, we say, what is the scheme here? Is this something that gets a 15-year mandatory minimum? And here, that conduct just doesn't. Because if you possess, if you receive, if you distribute the child pornography itself, an actual image of child pornography, you get a mandatory minimum 5. But now, under the government's reasoning, so long as you're videotaped or caught in an image of sexually explicit conduct with a child in the frame, that the child has become an object of arousal, that garners a 15-year sentence. That doesn't make sense. And under Bailey and all the cases that we cited, we're trying to go with what does use mean? And use means the active employment. That's the way the Supreme Court looked at Jones when it talked about what is use in interstate commerce for a house. A house is meant to be used for a commercial purpose if it's going to fall under the federal arson statute, not that the homeowner used insurance or used it for collateral or used it to receive, you know, other tangentially related goods. So, Your Honor, I hope I'm answering your question in that.
Well, I guess there's no way a sleeping child can be part of us, no matter what he does.
Well, I would disagree with that, Your Honor. I think if a sleeping child is actually sexually assaulted, if the child is unconscious in that regard, then yeah, I would say that. Or if he were to take off her clothes, if you were to, you know, if the child is sleeping and you take a photograph of her and there's a lewd and lascivious display of genitalia, then it clearly falls within that because the child is engaging, you know, per the Mr. Howard or whoever, whatever defendant would do that, would be engaging in sexually explicit conduct. So I wouldn't put the bright line that it's you can never have a sleeping child, but I would say you can never have a sleeping clothed child be, you know, like engaged in sexually explicit conduct in the way that the government would have it.
Well, you indicate that he did not use her?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, suppose we had a doll and same conduct, everything. Wouldn't he be using the doll?
So not using within the way that use should be defined. We can always say that use has many meanings. You know, like I use my credit card to pay for my room, but I didn't use it yet. I didn't use it today. I have a gun. I use a gun to protect my house, but I haven't had to use it yet. Use can have a very broad definition, almost limitless. But it's how do we define use within the verbs it appears with? Coerce, entice, employs, those are the verbs. And if use is going to get its meaning from the verbs it appears with, then it has to be an act of employment. So I'd say that the doll, if he was an inch or 2 inches or 5 feet away from a doll masturbating, that's not using the doll to engage in sexually explicit conduct. It's also not the type of thing that we would punish somebody with for 15 years, mandatory minimum. The doll has just become a prop. And a prop isn't the type of behavior that Congress has sought to criminalize. Congress sought to criminalize the sexual abuse of children. And while nobody here would argue that we like Matt Howard, what he did, that doesn't fall within what Ferber and the Supreme Court has consistently said, this is the core evil that we're trying to get at. This is why you don't get First Amendment protection. You don't get it because that's a sexual abuse of a child. And you're just capturing the image of it.
Does video number 2 at least potentially create a jury question under the statute with proper jury instructions that track your reading of the statute?
I think it could. If it weren't for the government's concession that this wouldn't fall within it, that like the oral sex, then I think it removes it out of. The idea that the sexual abuse and sexual act, the way that they're defined in the statutory scheme, I think that takes it away. If the government gives up the argument, hey, this is not oral sex, then there's nothing for the jury to actually decide in that regard. But I agree with you, it's a closer call in the second video.
The definition doesn't include attempts.
Well, no, sorry, you can have an attempt to to try to create child pornography. That comes, it's a very long, winding statute. At the end of it, it's like anyone who otherwise attempts to. And that's where the government could have charged him with an attempt, and it chose not to.
Okay. So that's why, based on the government's litigating decisions, video number 2 wouldn't qualify.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Under proper jury instructions.
That's right.
There could be a case where this would constitute an attempt at oral sex for the purpose of creating a visual depiction of that.
Oh, I agree with that. I'm not going to concede my case and say, like, hey, now it's plain
Understood.
Error, harmless error. But there are cases, even in this circuit, where we have the peephole camera, you know, that we're trying to, you know, like, you didn't actually capture anything that would have been the lewd and lascivious display, but that was what you were trying to do. If he was trying to get her to perform oral sex while she's sleeping, or what would fall within that definition, if he was trying to remove her clothes to then capture that image, oh yeah, that's an attempt all the way. And then that's clear under this circuit's case law. If you want me to brief it, I can file a 28J on that. But I think it's very clear. If there's no further questions, do you have a question, Your Honor?
No, right. Not yet.
Okay, thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Julie Fluger. I represent the United States. As Judge Sykes stated, this statute outlaws the sexual exploitation of children. That's what it is titled. It outlaws the use of a minor to engage in sexually explicit conduct. And sexually explicit conduct is defined under 18 U.S.C. 2256. So sexually explicit conduct in this case includes masturbation, and the lascivious exhibition of the defendant's genitals. There's no question that's sexually explicit conduct.
What if the defendant engages in sexually explicit conduct and the child is off camera?
Well, then it wouldn't be... So the crime is...
Still produced... using the child under your definition.
Yes, that is correct.
She's sleeping off camera.
But the crime is producing a picture of the entire interaction.
How do you get that from the text?
Well,
you seem to concede that the child has to be pictured, but your definition of use does not require that.
Well, but the law says any person who uses a minor to engage in sexually explicit conduct for the purpose of producing a visual depiction of such conduct. So the minor has to be involved in that conduct.
Right, but the visual image doesn't have to include the child under your definition. You said as long as the child, your definition, as long as the child... is the object of the defendant's fantasy, that's good enough for using. So the child can be off camera, according to your definition. How is that intuitively correct here?
Well, I think when you read the law as a whole, right, what you need is someone who uses a child to engage in sexually explicit conduct and then produces a visual depiction of the conduct that includes the child. I think when you read the law as a whole, it means the child must be in the picture. And I understand your concern, Your Honor, with that would be a closer call, but that's not this case.
No, understood. But you're asking for an interpretation that would include just what my hypothetical depicts.
And
you know, your interpretation would include what I've just posited as a hypothetical.
And I think the answer to
and
that...
And you're resisting it.
Well, I think the answer is that when you read the statute as a whole, and it says that the visual depiction is of such conduct...
Well, right, because you're focusing on the defendant's conduct. All that's important is the defendant's conduct and the object of his... conduct, not what's happening to the child. And the statute... according to the defendant's interpretation, focuses on what's happening to the child.
My best answer, Your Honor, is that when, in the government's point of view, when you read it as an entirety, because it says you're producing a visual depiction of the use of a child, of the employment of a child, of the persuading of a child, the child has to be in the picture. We wouldn't argue that a child could be out of the picture and it would be child pornography.
But that's what your definition of use encompasses. As long as the child is being used as an object of the sexual desire, even if off camera.
Well, if that's
in the same room off camera, on the playground, he's in the car, then that's good enough.
If you stick just to defining the word use, that would be correct. But I'm saying if you, in our interpretation, if you look at the entire statute where it says there must be a visual depiction of such conduct, and the conduct is using a minor to engage in, you have to have a picture of the use of the minor to engage in. You can't have a picture of just the defendant. So while the government does stick with that definition of use, I think when you put it back...
So it is a child pornography statute.
Well, you can call it that. But
and in fact, the government routinely does.
Yes, we do. Because it, for ease of... That's what people commonly call
so
it.
So it's not a general child exploitation statute.
Well, okay, if you say... What the defense says is that Congress sought to criminalize the sexual abuse of kids, right? And but child pornography could also be a child in the bathroom being videotaped. That's not... They're not being sexually abused. It is the defendant's intent and purpose that is criminalized, not sexual abuse of children. It is what the defendant's perversion makes that image into. So that is sexual exploitation more than, as the defendant puts, sexual abuse. I don't think the law is limited to just sexually abusing children. I don't know if that answered your question.
What did he plead guilty to?
He pled guilty to distribution and possession of child pornography, but not production.
That's all?
Yes.
And what did, of course, was there a sentence on that? Did there a distinction? What?
No, punishment? The sentences all ran concurrent.
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
Would you address the questions that I raised in Mr. Bugney's argument about the government's litigating position about whether video number two, if we accept the defendant's interpretation of the statute, whether video number two could qualify under a proper jury instruction?
So I remember...
Assuming we accept the defendant's interpretation of the statute, that the government's interpretation of the word use in the statute is overbroad, that the word has to be read in the context of the other words in the statute, induces, persuades, entices, coerces, etc., which requires that the child be in some sexually explicit pose, mm-hmm, or activity. Mm-hmm. Would video number two, because that involved a sexual touching, that was at least arguably an attempt at oral sex.
And so the government...
Or so a reasonable jury might conclude if properly instructed.
And the government did consider that argument, but we felt that it was more properly the lascivious exhibition of the defendant's genitals. That's clearly what it is.
Okay.
Whereas it
would if we reject your interpretation of the statute, then it's a Rule 29 as a matter of law.
Well, I mean, we didn't argue that, and we can't argue that here. We didn't argue it was attempted oral intercourse because we forfeited that argument because we thought this was a more proper argument.
Okay, so if we accept the defendant's interpretation of the statute, then these charges are thrown out. The conviction is vacated, and we instruct the district court to dismiss these two charges.
So if what you're asking is the defendant wants the definition of...
Do you want a new trial under different jury instructions?
Right.
That's the question.
His jury
on video number two.
His jury instruction would be that there needs to be an active use of the child. Okay, so I don't think, even if they got that jury instruction, that wouldn't mean that he wins, because many courts have found the act of photographing, taking a photo of a child, that in itself is the use. So even if you get the jury instruction that you need an active...
Right, and there could be at least a fact-based argument that attempting oral sex on a sleeping child is actively using that child.
Yes.
But you didn't make that argument.
Right.
You're not making it here.
We are not.
You don't want a new trial on those jury instructions on video number two.
Right.
Okay.
But so what I'm...
So you'd accept a complete loss.
Well, but what I'm saying is...
Or you have to accept a complete loss at this stage because you didn't preserve these arguments.
But what I'm trying to say is, if there's an instruction that you need an active component of use, that active component can be just the act of taking a photograph. So that's what other courts have held, that whether you... the first, second, fourth, sixth, and ninth circuit have interpreted use broadly and said the active component is satisfied if you take a photograph.
In those cases, the child was used in a sexually explicit way. You don't have any cases that support you except for the Eighth Circuit's case in Lowe's, which was a plain error review, not very persuasive.
Well,
so we're writing on a clean slate, but basically here.
I mean, the government feels that the Eighth Circuit is a very persuasive case, given that the facts are so similar.
The facts are very similar, but it was a plain error review.
Yes,
these arguments were not made. We've got well preserved arguments here, so we're writing on a clean slate.
Your Honor, if I could, I have 1 minute left.
I would have one. Just as far as what he pleaded guilty to. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been sentenced on that, I presume.
He was sentenced. I don't remember what the sentence was, but it was to run concurrent to his production of child pornography counts.
Well, I was only looking at this as a possible enhancement. Where it's the judge's decision about whether or not something else should be taken into consideration. But that seems to be already out of the picture.
That's right. He was already sentenced on the totality of the behavior. And I think I'm out of time.
You go ahead.
The government's point of view, really, perhaps you don't agree, but the government's point of view is that really this is a heartland case. I mean, the defense in their brief says
in the district court, you agreed that this pushes the outer edges of the envelope, not that this is a heartland case. That was the district court's position as well. I don't think anybody thinks this is a heartland case.
The defendant in his brief says that what he does is totally divorced and devoid of, disconnected from this child. And that just couldn't be further from the truth. He is on top of her. He is touching her. And the focus of his masturbation and of the videos is her. He's talking to people about how he wants to be a perv on her. So to say that he is not using her, he is not focused on her, these videos wouldn't exist if she's not there. He is using her in the most basic sense, whether you look at Black's Law Dictionary.
Was he clothed on the floor?
He was in a robe, and as he crawled on top of her, he took his robe off, and then so he was had the robe on his back, and he was naked in front, and his penis was within inches and then touching her. So to say he didn't use her, just... in that she, you know, look, this would be a much closer case if she was 10 feet away and he had his back to her and didn't know she was there. We wouldn't be having this same argument, but he was on top of her and using her as a physical object. And the government doesn't see that as some stretch of the word use or some crazy interpretation. It's a very common language argument. And I am over my time, so I will...
You have something you really want to introduce?
I just think that the plain meaning of use, whether you look at, you know, the government cites Black's Law Dictionary that says use is to take advantage of someone for a selfish purpose. And the defendant's brief cites Oxford, which says use is to make use of in accomplishing a task. He certainly made use of her accomplishing his task of exposing his genitals and masturbating. And then to say, well, she didn't engage in sexually explicit conduct. What makes something sexually explicit? It's the defendant's motivation, right? So if you have a child in a shower, it's not sexually explicit. But when a defendant starts looking at it with his prurient interest and he is sexually aroused by it, that makes it sexually explicit, right? So it's the defendant's...
Not what's in the defendant's head. What's on the image.
Yes. But what's in his motivation is one of...
It's what's on the image, whether it constitutes one of the things that falls within the definition of sexually explicit conduct.
But if a defendant was taking a picture of a child in a shower completely innocently and it showed a close up of her vagina, that wouldn't be sexually explicit conduct.
That's if it's depicting lascivious display. It's what's on the image that counts, not what's in his head. I mean, he has to intentionally do these things, obviously, but we don't evaluate whether something is or isn't either child pornography or obscenity based on what's in
you can focus
the perpetrator's head.
We you can focus on different things in a shower. I mean,
right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. And I'll give you a couple minutes if you want.
Unless the court has any questions, I just wanted to answer Judge Mannion's question. He received 10 years concurrent on count three, and then 5 years on each of the separate counts of possession of child pornography, 4 through 7, unless there's any other questions.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel, and the case is taken under advisement.